Today's scripture comes from Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 through 22. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I am going to destroy them along with the earth. Make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its width, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it a cubit above and put the door of the ark on its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For my part, I am going to bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two of every kind shall come in with you to keep them alive. Also take with you every kind of food that is eaten, and store it up, and it shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him.
Noah's Ark. We love the story. Who doesn't love the saving of all of the animals from a great flood? We find this a very easy story also to share with our children. There are coloring books, puzzles, pages of artwork that you can do, you name it, to go along with the story. Many nurseries, baby nurseries, are decorated with Noah's Ark on the walls. As we hit our teen years, we may start to ask, why was there a flood? And then the adults around say, oh, who cares? It's a great story. There's this huge ark and animals, and remember the dove. Who can forget the dove that Noah sends out to see if there is dry land? It is a big story, so big that it was made into a movie. How many of you saw the movie? I didn't see it yet, but I would love to have made this movie. Seriously, you can't go wrong with this one. It is made for Hollywood. You have a man who is 600 years old, really, 600 years old, and God tells that man to build an ark. It has Hollywood written all over it. Then you have this voice of God. People usually give God a male voice, but in my mind, God has a female voice. So whichever way it works for you, or if there's some other sound you have for God's voice, this voice says to Noah, make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in the ark, cover it inside and outside with pitch. The length of the ark is 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. We couldn't write a more dramatic movie than this. God goes on, make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and put the door on the ark on its side. Make sure it has three decks. God has obviously thought through this whole ark building business. As I said, I have not seen the movie, but the special effects the director could have put in this movie are unlimited. Think of what a makeup artist could do to make someone look 600 years old. And then the whole size of the ark and the fact that a 600-year-old man is building this ark. The best part of the whole story, or at least the part that I have loved beginning from when I was a child, is the part about the animals. God tells Noah to bring two of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every kind into the ark. Birds, everything that creeps on the ground. Of course, at the beginning of chapter 7, God tells Noah to bring only seven pairs of all clean animals and just one pair of the animals that are not clean and seven pairs of the birds. Not sure what happened between the bring two of every living animal to, well, maybe just seven pairs of those and a couple of these. Whatever the number in my mind, I see the ark as I saw it in pictures as a child. And it was beautiful during the children's moment because I completely agree. I know that the giraffes were on the ark because their heads are sticking out of the roof, right? We know they were on there. It is just a great story for Hollywood, for youth, for adults, because animals are saved from the killing waters of the flood, and they are saved by a very kind 600-year-old man. At least that's how we know the story, right? It is all about Noah building an ark to God's specifications and saving all the animals, or at least some of the animals, isn't it? To be honest, though, there's a part of this story that I like to just skip over. There's a part of this story that we tend to skip over in our children's Bible stories. Maybe that's why we as adults continue to skip over it. From what I have heard, the movie did not skip over it, and for that reason, some people were upset with the way the story of Noah was portrayed. This isn't a nice little story of how God decided to give the earth a bath one day. You know, a good old bucket of water on the floor kind of cleaning. No. Somehow we have moved from Genesis chapter 1, where God saw all that God has created and declared it good, very good, to seeing that the wickedness of humankind is great in the earth and that every inclination of the thoughts of our hearts are only evil continually. So God was sorry that God had ever made humankind, and it grieved God's heart. So God said, I will blot out from the earth the human being I have created, people together with animals and creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have ever made them. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. God saw the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. That's a big jump from all of creation being good, very good, to all of creation being so bad, so evil, so corrupt that it grieves God's heart, and God decides to destroy creation. My goodness, we are only in chapter 6 of Genesis. God has had enough of us, and we haven't even made it to our 40 years of complaining in the desert yet. There doesn't seem to be just one event that makes God want to push the button and end it all. Instead, we've moved from the incredible beauty of creation to Adam and Eve eating the fruit from the tree which God said not to eat, and they were driven out of the Garden of Eden, to Cain killing his brother Abel because God liked Abel's offering better, to two verses in chapter 4 telling us that Lamech, son of Methuselah, not to be confused with Lamech, the son of Methuselah, who became the father of Noah. No, this first Lamech killed a man for wounding him, a young man for striking him. And then we move to a kind of bizarre story in the first four verses of chapter 6 that doesn't seem to fit, about creatures a little lower than God creating children with humans, which creates creatures that are not fully human. And in the span of five chapters after the beauty of creation, God has seen that the creatures are evil, that life in a garden that is filled with every food one could desire and every animal that one can imagine, and there is peace and unity and harmony, that creation did not make it past, chapter 1. We know these stories of the evil we do to one another. We know that we are human, but to want to get rid of everyone and every living creature? One bright spot is Noah found favor in the sight of God, but God didn't ask Noah, hey, you want to go on a great seafaring adventure? God didn't say, hey, there's going to be a little bit of extra water. You may want to store your food on higher ground. No. God said, in 7 days I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground. God's heart was grieved. God was so hurt, so sad over what God's beautiful creation had become. And rain it did. Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives went into the ark along with clean animals, unclean animals, birds, everything that creeps on the ground, and all food, every wild animal and all domestic animals, every winged creature, all flesh in which there was a breath of life entered the ark as the rains fell. The water swelled so mightily that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered, and all flesh died that move on the earth, birds, domestic animals, wild animals, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, all human beings, everything on dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. God blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground. Only Noah and those that were with him in the ark survived. And in the midst of the rain, God remembered Noah and the wild animals and all the domestic animals that were with Noah on the ark. God made a wind blow over the earth and the water subsided. Noah first sent out a raven and it flew around. Then he sent out a dove, but the dove did not find any dry ground. Then 7 days later, he sent the dove out again, and this time the dove came back with a freshly plucked olive leaf in its beak. And 7 more days, Noah sent out the dove again, and the dove did not come back. So Noah knew it was time. There was dry land, and he began to open the ark. And after everything was off of the ark, Noah built an altar to God and offered burnt offerings to God. Yep, it would have been some of those animals. God smelled the pleasing odor, and from God's heart, God said, I will never again curse the ground because of humankind, for the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth, nor will I ever again destroy every living creature as I have done. God then gave all living things to humans as food, and due to God's grief at how we kill one another, God says, whoever sheds the blood of a human by a human shall that person's blood be shed, for in God's own image God made humankind. God goes even further with this covenant, though, and says that this covenant is with humans and with every living creature, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. This is a sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Oh, that's beautiful. Well, after Noah, family, and the animals get off the ark, there's a little episode where Noah gets drunk, is naked, and one of his sons dishonors him by running, telling the other two sons about this instead of covering up his father. We're right off the boat, and we're right back where we were. Wow. If we have ever wondered about the depths of God's love for each one of us humans, who when we were created, God called us good, very good. If we have ever wondered about the depths of God's love for us humans, who God created in God's image, after this story, there is no need to ever wonder again. After all of the gifts God gave to creation, after all the many ways that we have turned God's creation into our own creation, God still loves us. God still loves every living creature. God did not send the flood out of anger or revenge. God was sad. In fact, the word in chapter 6 that we translate as corrupt, now the earth was corrupt, the Hebrew word is shahat. And that word, that same Hebrew word is used in verse 13 where God tells Noah, I'm going to destroy, I'm going to shahat, I'm going to let the earth corrupt itself. This is not an external punishment. God allows humanity's own shahat, own corruption, to destroy. But beyond that, did you catch how much God loves us? In the midst of how human we are, it isn't our hearts that changed with the flood. It is God's heart that has changed. God knows who we are, good, bad, and ugly. After all, God knows what we were created to be. Even though we do a good job of trying to push God away, God remembers us as God remembered Noah and says, we're in this together through thick and thin, and I promise you that I will never destroy you again. Our hearts, unfortunately, are still capable of much destruction, for we are human. God's heart, though, will never feel that way about us again, ever. God will forever love every living creature. And we have a beautiful rainbow filled with incredible colors to remind us and to remind God of the love that binds us one to another. It's a great children's story. Although we tend to live out all the hard parts that I just went through that actually show us the depths of God's love for us. And it is great stuff for a movie. Seriously. If you saw the movie, I can only imagine. Especially if you throw in the drunken episode after everyone gets off the ark. Most of all, it's a very humbling story of the depths of God's love for every living creature on earth. Not just humans, but all of creation. God made a covenant with every living thing to never destroy us again. A covenant of love, mercy, and incredible grace. No matter what we do, God is going to love us and will never destroy us again. Instead, God loves us completely, just the way we are. Amen.